This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide-and-seek.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Joining me in the studios, three men with more holes in them combined than I think the Titanic at the end of it. We've got Stu, we've got Derek, we've got Nigel. Good evening, boys.
Good evening.
Oh, that was good. They have body modifications and they do a barbershop quartet on weekends. Now, the premise of this show when we started discussing it is living with body modification. So we'll start with the easiest question, I suppose. How old were you when you got your first mod? And we'll start with Stu because he's right next to me.
Sure. I was 17 when I got my first mod. I went to a chemist in Canberra and got a gun to my ear. So,
and I suppose the public service announcement that we make is no guns to ears, people.
Yes, that's probably the very first lesson to learn about piercings is those little quick guns are not the best for achieving a good result with a piercing. So as a result, mine didn't stick. But
and following on from that first piercing, you now have how many?
Eight.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to skip Derek. I'll come back to him. Nigel.
G'day. I was, would have been 15, I think it was, when I got my my ears pierced. So got both of those pierced. And same with Stu. It was with a gun and a chemist. But mine stuck. Another bigger.
So. And you're up to how many now?
12.
12. Mm-hmm. Okay. Derek.
All right, mine a bit later compared to these boys, I think. I was about 19 or 20, So an adult, apparently. And first one was actually a small tattoo, and that was probably the 19 one. First piercing was a nipple at about 20 that, needless to say, didn't last that long because it was done in a dodgy beauty salon in Adelaide because there was just no real professional services over there back then. And, you want the count?
Yeah, go on.
All right. Currently, I've got in 20 piercings, 12 implants, 8 tattoos, and one other surgical mod.
Yes, we're going to get to that. We're leaving that surgical mod for a bit. We need to ease people in. I'm going to stick with piercings, and I'm so lightweight in comparison because I've only got 2 in at the moment. I've had 6. But only 2 survived. So I have to obviously beef up my credentials. I have a lot more tattoos, though. Does it count? I've got, you know, sure. 1, 2, 3, 8, I think, somewhere, if we count that one in pieces. Okay, so the upshot here is the whys and wherefores. You know, when I started, my first piercing was that teenage, rebellious, my mother saying to me, you're never going to get your ears pierced. No son of mine is ever going to live in my house with a pierced ear. So, of course, the very next day, I went out like Stu and like Nigel, got the gun and got my ear pierced just to be, you know, obnoxious. And it was many years between that and actually getting a real piercing. Well, I was over 30 when I got my second piercing, if you like. What was the time frame for you, Stu, between that first ear and then the rest?
Well, not long after I unsuccessfully was able to, sorry, when I unsuccessfully had the ear done, just after that I got my labret done, which was, so that's, for those who don't know, a piercing in the middle of your chin, so just below your bottom lip, and that was the second one I ever got. And actually my mother signed the release form to allow me to do it because I was under 18, so that was actually quite sweet of her. I think she thought it was just a phase and that she'd just be supportive and but it wasn't done at the best kind of place, and I wasn't happy with the placement, and for getting jobs after that while I was that old, I decided it was when I had an accident with a plastic piercing one of the clear ones, mm-hmm. where to make employers
happy.
More happy, even though it's just as obvious as a piece of steel in you. But So essentially that fell out and I was halfway across town and couldn't get home to put something else in. So it kind of healed over on the inside and I just thought, well, that's that. I'll get it done later. So, yeah, so essentially my motivations were, I guess, at the time it was not necessarily a rebellious thing at that stage. It was, I guess I'd kind of thought about wanting to express myself in a kind of different way and I looked up all the different types of piercings you could kind of get and I wanted it to be something that people could see and that it was, I guess, a part of me and that's why I decided on the librette because it was in a kind of what I thought at the time was a really cool place to get something done and I, yeah, it kind of stood out. So
very in your face, if you'll pardon the expression.
In your face, yeah.
Was the Nigel same with you also?
So mine was more a rebellious thing as well. So I think it's a very common thing. I wanted to stand out to other people as well. So with the earrings getting done when I was 15, I think my next one after that was I got my belly button pierced, like all good gay boys do.
Yeah, mine isn't actually.
Yeah, I would have been about 19 then, and then soon after that got my nipple pierced, which I've still got the same piercing in, which I get laughed at because it's a very small gauge. I'm a little bit too scared to get that one stretched at this stage.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it sometimes.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. It looks
that's
pretty.
That's there for nostalgic purposes now.
Exactly. We've worked out something that that I'll get done and get it pierced behind it, get a bigger gauge behind it. Go. So something a bit different there.
So you started rebellious, but then it grew. Why?
For pleasure. So
yes.
Pleasure and aesthetics. So it was I got my Prince Albert done about 12 years ago and the geish done at pretty much the same sort of time. And
then we probably should explain for our listeners who aren't familiar with the technical terms. So Prince Albert is...
Prince Albert goes through basically the head of your willy. Mm-hmm. So and out the eye. That's a very technical term.
Yeah.
And a geish is the little space between your butthole and your ball sack.
Yes.
And the little crease down there. So right in the middle there, just above your G-spot.
Now that G-spot strikes me as a particularly challenging piercing to heal.
No.
Really?
No, and it wasn't painful either.
Okay.
From memory.
I know that, Stu, you grew up in the country.
Well, Canberra, yeah. But yes.
Wow.
Same thing.
Deep,
same
deep thing. Rural then.
Yes, yes, a rural centre.
Yeah. Nigel and Derek, where did you guys grow up?
Dunedin, New Zealand.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm an Adelaide boy originally.
What was the reaction, Dunedin, Canberra, Adelaide, to, you know, you guys got piercings at a relatively early age. We're talking 17 to 19 to 20. What was the contemporary reaction?
It was pretty rare. A lot of your peers wouldn't or didn't have it. It was probably something that was a little bit too extreme at the time because it was, back then, for me at least, you had to go to like a dodgy tattoo parlor or a beauty therapy clinic that like you wouldn't normally be seen dead in.
Yep.
And get out of your comfort zone to that. So it was a little bit different amongst your peers, especially when most of my peers were straight school people or straight uni people, that it just wasn't in their world at all. And still isn't, except for me.
Yeah. Was it something that earmarked you as being gay, though? Was it seen as a gay thing?
Mine weren't particularly visible back then.
Right.
So it's like a nipple piercing's there. If you want to show it, take your shirt off, they'll see it. So it's not particularly something you see, although yeah. I did have some fun things at work where you wear a shirt that's fairly thin on a summer's day and suddenly there's three nipples in one nipple and other people are a little bit curious in the lift and that in close quarters and they'll see that and they'll stare and they'll look and they'll ask and it's usually people that are more senior than you, like 20 years older.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're a little bit more curious about it and willing to ask.
We talk about getting modifications, Stu, you said it for self-expression.
Sure.
What is there any of them that you dislike? That you go, if I knew then what I know now, that's not an expression I would have made for myself.
I don't think so. I think initially when I got my librette done and I had that incident where it came out, I was not unhappy with it I was not unhappy with the fact that it healed and that I wasn't replacing it immediately, because I did actually feel a bit of pressure that it may affect my employability in the future and that kind of thing, and particularly in Canberra, where the reactions at the time when I was that young were very much like people would not make eye contact when talking to you because they were staring at your piercing. Like it was still processing in their minds what on earth I'd done. So I had felt a lot of pressure at that stage. It took a long time before I ended up, leaving Canberra for a start. And then once I actually moved here to Melbourne, I kind of felt a bit more able to express myself. And so that's when I started to explore more piercings again and actually discovered that form of self-expression again. So it's kind of been a bit of a rediscovery for me, if you will, in the last 12 months or so. To answer the question, no, I'm very happy with all of them.
And we should, you've been in Melbourne for about 12 months now.
Yes.
How many piercings have you got in the last 12 months?
Seven of them. So yeah. Seven of my eight.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, there were quite a lot.
Yes, I kind of started rediscovering all of that just as I was leaving Canberra. I got my ear redone. So that was kind of the first step into coming back into it. And then once I got down here, I met a few other friends and who were into, or Derek particularly, but some other friends as well who we'd socialise and spend a bit of time around, I suppose, the Laird and also the piercing place, piercing HQ, where we have had them. And so just socialising kind of got it into my mind that, hang on, I can actually express myself like this again. And it kind of brought back all those memories of why I did it in the first place. And
Derek, you've got quite a lot of modifications.
I do.
The motivation behind that build-up, is it self-expression? Is there an element of the modification that is self-gratifying?
For me, it's slightly a different thing. It's hard to put a pin onto what it actually is. But for me, yeah, it's self-expression. It's something that's unique. It's different. There's a personal challenge. Every time you get a needle or a scalpel or something taken to you, then you've got to mentally prep yourself up. You've got to get into a headspace fairly quickly. And you've got to tell your body that, hey, this is a good pain or an anticipated pain that is going to result in something better in the long term. So my answer to that is more around because I can.
is there an element, he says politically, of masochism in the modification urge, i.e. you know, there is that pain aspect, which I badly, by the way, before you SMS to complain about this, I badly equate to childbirth, in the sense that after it's done, you forget that sharp pain. I've had lots of tattoos, and I forget how painful some of my tattoos were to get. I just remember the result. And I now go, oh, I must get a new tattoo because they're awesome and I must have one. And then I'm 10 minutes in going, oh, yes, I've forgotten what it feels like.
Definitely, yeah.
But is there an element of pleasure from that pain?
There's a pain, there's an endorphin rush that follows, there's the happy, chatty, sort of smiley bit afterwards, because your body does go into that mode of, oh, something's happened to me, I need to go into a bit of a defense mode, and the adrenaline starts running. Mm-hmm. But the more you get, the less that works. Let's put it that way. I've recently had a couple of extra tattoos done.
Yep.
And this is only a couple of weeks ago. And the thing was, I was sitting there just 3 and a half hours in two sessions. And it was just like, yeah, okay, this is a bit boring. So it wasn't the sort of, oh, that's painful again.
Yeah.
To the point that the others were there going, are you okay? Are you going to faint? Like laughing at me. Going, what's wrong with this guy? He's just sitting there taking it.
La, la, la. La, la. Yeah. Yes. Are there any ones that were particularly painful that you went, that was a lot more painful than I was expecting?
Nipples are always painful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to go for the technical term, the glands is quite painful to have pierced.
Now, that's so the head of the penis.
Yes.
So this is not the PA. So the PA basically goes through the skin of between the urethra and the bottom of the shaft.
Where the head meets.
Yeah. So it's actually behind the glands.
Yep. Whereas this goes through the side.
So that would be a ampelling, ampredriva?
Not quite, because that surgical mod we talked about makes things a little bit different.
Okay, and on that note, it is time for a few messages from our sponsors. You are on Hide and Seek on Joint 94.9 with Avi, Stu, Derek, and Nigel. I want to do a bit of a roll call, not of the people, but of the piercings. I'll go first because I'm quick. I have a nipple and a PA at the moment. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 tattoos. 7. So that's my mod inventory, just to give our lovely people out there in listener land a scope of where we come from as body modified people. Stu, list them out.
Sure. I guess starting from top to bottom, I've got eyebrow, ear, librette, both nipples, Prince Albert, and 2 frenum.
Which is behind the head.
Yes, so the frenum's on the bottom of the shaft of the penis and below the head, so basically where your urethra runs up the bottom.
Rightio. Nigel, I'm again skipping Derek because he's going to take the rest of the segment.
All right, so I've got my ears stretched to a zero gauge. Which...
So those are the plugs that you put, the earlobe plugs.
They are, yeah. But I got them done quickly, so technically they weren't stretched, they were scalpeled.
Okay.
So they were done in about a minute, which is great, instead of months and months of stretching.
Right.
So I've got those two. I have my septum. And snake bites, which are like a librette, but on the sides of the mouth. My nipple, Prince Albert, 4 frenums, a geish, and 10 tattoos.
Right.
I think that's it.
Do we? Do you count your sleeve tattoo as one?
All in one, pretty much.
Derek.
All right, we'll go head down again, I guess. So I've got my ear pierced, which is my most, a recent one in October, which was my first time ever getting my ear pierced.
I do love that.
It's a custom piece and it's very nice. I've got my tongue done. I've got it my septum. I've got a nape piercing, which is the back of the neck.
Okay. Yep. Is that a piercing or is that a dermal?
It's a surface bar. There's actually two balls on the end and a bar that runs under the skin between them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so that's above the shoulders. both nipples done at 6 gauge, which is about 4 and a bit millimetre diameter wire. getting some good looks here. Then I've got, scrotal ladder. So about 8 rings of the same thickness as the nipples that run down the seam down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
A dolphin piercing, which is a deep urethral piercing.
That is at the sort of the tail end of the shaft, the body end of the shaft, if you like.
No? I'm still back towards the head.
Okay.
It starts just below where the head meets the shaft and comes about an inch or so down the shaft and then back out in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little bit different.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Then I've also got... geish, which is one of the new recent ones.
What about the ones in the head?
And the ones in the head we were talking about before. So either side of the eye, basically. So a small bar either side.
Yep.
Yep.
And lots of tattoos.
Yeah, about 8 tattoos. Okay. So legs, calves, upper legs, lower back, chest, arms.
With all those mods, I have to ask now, is there clothing you can't wear anymore?
No, not really. No. I'm actually waiting for the implants that I got back in November to settle down. So I had a heap of 3D silicon implants thrown in. I've got 2 large cogs in my chest.
Yes.
So I'm waiting for them to just heal up and settle.
So how are those? These are subdermal implants.
Yep.
So basically, explain the process of getting an implant.
So you have a scalpel incision in the skin, a dermal elevator put under the skin, so it lifts and separates the skin away from the muscle below, and then a piece of silicon is put in
above the muscle, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So just very close to the skin, but just enough that it's not going to wear through or cause any issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then that's all sewn up?
Yep, sewn back up and then months to heal. So,
is the silicone attached to anything? Does anything hold it in place, or is it just the placement of the skin back?
The body forms a pocket around it, mm-hmm. so it holds it in place. So, so with the implants, they're not all silicone. I've got some older ones that are made of Teflon, mm-hmm. Which is an older style of implant, and I've also got two magnetic implants, which are good fun.
So you can erase people's credit cards?
That's it. Never seen it work yet, but it's amazing because you basically get an extra sense. One's in my finger, mm-hmm. so you can feel things like your microwave or a motor that's running, electrical motor that's mm-hmm. running, and plus you can pick up things like beer bottle cans and that kind of stuff. Anything metallic sort of picks up there. The other one's in my ear.
Right.
So in my earlobe, so which is kind of cool because it's a bigger one and it will actually spin and align with magnetic fields. So you can feel stuff happen.
So this was the... okay, so that's not the custom piece on the right-hand side.
No, this is the other ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not visible to the outside world. You can't see that it's in there.
It's a 10mm magnet, so mm-hmm. it's fairly decent size that mm-hmm. was implanted in the earlobe. And, I've had that for 2 years-ish.
Do you sometimes get stuck on things you weren't expecting?
Yes. Yep. There's a great one with that, leaning against a steel patio. So yep. just leaning against the post, and then suddenly your ear just like latches onto it. I was like, oh, okay.
I didn't realize that was magnetic, but that works. Is there anything you can't do now? I mean, how? Talk to me about going through airport security.
Fantastic. I went overseas, like all through Europe, and stop off in Dubai and stuff, and mm-hmm. No issues at all. Even the millimeter scanners or the metal detectors, mm-hmm. no issues going through. Like friends go through, they get picked up with a bra wire, and I'm walking through with all this extra metal and magnets in me, and just straight through.
Have you ever worked out how much it all weighs?
No, but I'm going to go with a lot because it makes the scales look better.
Do you take it all out so you can get an accurate reading?
I keep saying if I ever went to Weight Watchers, 1 week, measured in, next week, take it all out. Fantastic.
Don't have to do a thing. What? There are obviously quite a few fairly extreme modifications. What non-modified people would call fairly extreme. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm modified and I call subdermal implants relatively extreme. What was the point at which you go, piercings are not enough, I now want to get a cog dermally implanted?
I guess it comes from my background of being an engineer. Mm-hmm. So it's something different. It's brings that mechanical, electrical component in, especially with the magnets. Mm-hmm. It's like I had other implants first, but then magnets got to a point where they were, to my level, suitable enough to be implanted and stable enough. And then I was like, yeah, got to have that. And that ties in back to being an electronic engineer. So passion, okay. Hobby tied in.
The other mods, I mean, Nigel and Stu, you've got a fair few of them on your naughty bits.
Yes.
We are allowed to say the word cock on Hide and Seek, so I'll use that one as well. Has that changed sex for you guys?
Yes.
I think it's enhanced sex. I think that was kind of the... one of the motivations for me to consider that kind of thing as well. I suppose there was also an event at the pub that motivated my Prince Albert.
Yeah, so you got your Prince Albert in quite a public way, as I recall.
Yes, I did. So I got a phone call one Sunday afternoon from Derek with a very interesting proposal that as part of an event that was happening at the Laird pub for the Week of Leather, that I do a demonstration of a piercing on stage with the people from the from our piercing place, Piercing HQ.
And we should say that you're not a beautiful, unique snowflake in this regard, because two Joy presenters have already been pierced by the same people at the same place.
That's right. So, yes. So yeah, that's essentially how it happened, and I thought about it in the back of my mind for a while, whether or not I'd consider that kind of thing, and that kind of helped make the decision for me, I think, because I'd been considering it, and that was a good opportunity.
Now, the last person I interviewed getting a piercing in public at the Laird was Andrew the Apprentice, when he got his nipple pierced after Radiothon, but he'd never had any other piercings done, and subsequent to that hasn't had any more piercings done either. As someone who had piercings done before then decided to go and get your naughty bits pierced, so you actually got your PA done at the Laird, what was the difference in the piercing event?
It's That's a very good question. I suppose I still psyched myself up the same way I would for the other piercings, but it was definitely a different environment for sure. But I suppose if anything, I found it made it a more fun experience because I felt like I was sharing that with other people and I guess showing people something new and something that they may not have kind of experienced before, and to, I guess, broaden some horizons. So I kind of felt like I was giving back to the community in a way. I think that kind of enhanced the experience a bit. And I was also pushing some personal boundaries, I guess, as well.
And throughout the discussion, there has been a great sort of undertone of sociability inside this piercing community, if you like. You know, you've all spoken about the group that was created, Stu, when you came down from Canberra, got back into piercing because of people you met. How social is that now?
It's quite social, and we're always discussing at the pub our new modifications, and people are always asking us all kinds of questions about PAs particularly and how it all works and that kind of stuff. So, and it kind of draws people in, and it's a good conversation starter, I guess.
What's the strangest question you've ever been asked about your mods?
Does it hurt?
No, that's not strange, though. I would think that was the go-to question. What's the strangest one, though? Do you take my one is always, do you take it out before you shower?
Really? Never had that.
Somebody asked me that one. I'm going, really? No. Mm-hmm. Somebody also did ask me, do you take it out before you pee?
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, no, I don't have that kind of time.
That's right. No, it's usually more just curiosity. It's not strange questions.
What are the kind of questions, particularly with your mods, Derek, that you get? What are the kind of questions you get with those mods?
Usually just how did it get in there and why?
Yeah. Do you have a stock answer?
No, not really. No. I'm usually pretty keen to educate. If anyone comes up, asks, they're interested, it's usually from a genuine curiosity. Most people don't see this in real life. They see it on TV or extreme shows, and to get the chance to actually talk to someone, I think is great. Mm-hmm. And okay, here, this is what it is. It's not scary. It's not what you think it is.
It's not going to bite you unless you really, really want it to.
Exactly. And more lube.
Yeah. When we come back, we will revisit the sex question, because I've had some interesting reactions and I want to get all of your interesting reactions. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. I'm Avi Miller and I'm joined in the studio by Stu, Derek and Nigel. I said Grant earlier, but hello Grant in Sydney, who was meant to be in here, but, you know, work shit. And you're missing out, my friend, because we're having fun. We're all nude. I don't know why. All the better for seeing mods.
Definitely.
But it does raise the sex question, because I've had some interesting reactions for people. Given that none of my piercings are actually visible when I have my clothes on, when I do take my pants down and you see the sides of my PA, a lot of people go, what the... And no, and my crowns, and I don't have the dentist insurance for this. Which my response is, if my PA is going anywhere near your teeth, you need to learn how to give better blowjobs. What's the strangest reaction you guys have had pre-sex?
Well, starting with me, I haven't had it for that long, so I've only ever had two reactions from people, because not long after I got my Prince Albert done, I entered into a monogamous relationship. So, but I suppose the first reaction was a bit of a... So it was not my partner, but he was a bit hesitant at first and said, oh, all right, we'll give it a go, but maybe be a bit slow or just ease into it kind of thing. And he actually surprisingly enjoyed it. So, but yes, I haven't really had much reactions, but I don't know about you other boys.
You kind of learn to warn people first when you're doing that and filtering out who they are or what they are. You do mention it subtly, and quite often they'll explore. Often they're intrigued and interested. Sometimes they're just no.
Given the amount of modifications that you have, particularly on your dick, how does that change having sex for you?
It makes it very difficult when it's healing, because it puts things out of action for up to a couple of months. But when it's done, as I said before, more lube, it works well. Some people are quite put off by having like 8 mil diameter beads in the shaft that are quite sticky outy.
Yes. ribbed for whose pleasure exactly?
Pretty much mine, but it works for both.
Have you had people refuse? No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And if that's the case, well, find someone else.
Yeah. I mean, there's no shortage of people who say yes.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Any bad experiences? I'm looking at Nigel because he did share one off air.
Yes. Quite a few years ago. So probably about, it's about 11 years ago, I think, with my partner at the time, we both got our geesh and Prince Albert's done together. Mm-hmm. And then one night after a big night out, we were home 5 o'clock in the morning and started having a bit of a session. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, my Prince Albert got caught on his geesh and we both pulled apart at the same time. My Prince Albert ripped out. So ended up in hospital for a couple of days. I think it was about 2 weeks off work. I had a catheter in for a while as well, for about a week. Nice little old lady coming around to change my dressings every day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it was a different experience.
So now what is the state of the head of your dick now, basically?
It got stitched up and okay. I hadn't put my Prince Albert in for a very long time until very recently, and it just slipped straight back in into an even bigger gauge, actually. So,
but I mean, that, you know, that does highlight, I suppose, the need for safety when you're playing with another modified person. You do have that risk of catching. How do you incorporate mods into play, though? I mean, is there a way of linking that's safe and fun?
For sure. Depending on what you do, and whenever you get a new piercing, talk to your piercer about what you're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what you're into. So don't be shy. Talk to them. So things like nipple rings, look at the size of it. Talk about how deep you want to get them, what you're going to do with it, because you can put things like ropes through them.
Mm-hmm.
You can put things like violet wands near them so that a bit of electro play will connect nicely. So yeah, you can incorporate them into play very well as either restraint points or points of interest that can do different things to what they normally do.
Nodding doesn't...
Yes, yeah, no, I definitely agree. Sorry, I lost the point of the question there. It does definitely enhance play.
I suppose this could also include, do any of you guys get into play piercing?
No. No, okay. I leave it to the professionals.
Not yet.
Which is an interesting, you know, as people who are as modified as the three of you combined, it is interesting that you separate the act of getting pierced with your own experience, that you haven't moved to the point of actually learning how to pierce yourself, even as a play experience.
Yeah, true. There's plenty of other things you can do.
Oh, yeah.
And there's obviously a risk if you're playing with blood and breaking the skin. So that's why I leave it up to professionals, basically, in my world. I've seen plenty of it in person, and some of it looks fantastic. There's some great designs you can do. There's some great headspace play that you can get into applying 20, 50 needles.
Are there any mods you would never get?
Only ones that are high risk, so places where there's a high bacteria content or a place where it's likely to get caught and pulled or strained in your daily life if it's going to interfere with work. So I can't particularly name any. Mm-hmm. At the moment, I've stayed away from a lot of facial ones or exposed ones purely because of a corporate environment that I normally work in.
Yeah.
So keep it subtle is the main thing.
But I mean, see, we, you know, none of you guys have gone to scarification or branding, which are sort of also considered more extreme modification styles. Mm. Lack of time, lack of interest.
Plenty of other things to do first.
Yeah. I think it involves a very a much more intense level of pain play with that as well. So it's definitely a big step up for me to consider that kind of thing.
Any piercings you, or any mods that you would not get, Stu?
I don't know. I'm kind of still exploring a whole lot of different ones that I, a long time ago, would never have considered. So I'm very open-minded. But yeah, I think the practical ones, are, as Derek said, are the ones that you've got to be, you've got to be practical about your decisions. Like, you don't want to sort of get dermal implants in your arms if you're doing a lot of active work for, or if you were climbing trees for work or something. It might be a bit difficult, but yeah.
Nigel?
I think the only ones I probably wouldn't consider is getting something, as the other boys said, in the face or on the head. So implants I'm talking about, not piercings.
Right, yes.
Piercings you can take out quickly if you need to.
Yes.
But yeah, implants on the face or head.
And I feel the same way very much about tattoos. Though I will say the sexiest tattoo I've ever not seen was in a lift in the city once, and this beautiful man in a suit got in, turned around, and all you could see coming just over the top of his collar was this point of a tattoo. You know, so you just saw a tiny little triangle. And all I wanted to do was rip the shirt, rip the coat off to go, how big? Because you knew it was just going to go into this full back body thing. And I love the subtlety of that, because he knew exactly where his shirt collar would end, that this tiny little piece would come up over the top of it. Is there an element of mystery play? I mean, we almost run out of time, but is there an element of playing with your audience, as in other people, with these things?
Yeah, for sure. That's, as I was saying before, seeing extra balls under the shirt. That's where there's one, there's plenty. Well, usually. Same as my nape piercing. I was one of the first ones I ventured above the shirt. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you do get people come up, and you're sitting down and people will come up behind you and they'll notice a little blue shiny thing on the back of your neck. And yeah, what's that? Where's the rest? And that's often the first one they'll see.
Yeah.
I have had a funny story with my septum for work when I wear a retainer in.
Okay.
So I don't have a large ring in my nose normally through the day at work if I'm in an office environment. And I actually had a competition being run against me in Sydney at one time where the guys had a bet running on the floor trying to work out what this bit of steel was in my nose and how it got there. So yeah, it can be quite good fun.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me on Hide and Seek, discussing all your mods.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay, and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.